This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. And a good Monday to you. I hope you had a very good weekend. If you loved college basketball, well, then you're going to love the Final Four because it's filled with teams you know and love, like the Duke Blue Devils, North Carolina Tar Heels, Kansas Jayhawks, and the Villanova Wildcats. It's been a good tournament so far. It was a lot of fun up until this, up until now, and now we've got Blue Bloods in the Final Four going on in New Orleans, and you can obviously make the case for every single one of the teams. Will Coach K outshine the Final Four? That's a legit question, and I don't think it's wrong to sort of speculate on that. A person that has been in the game for 40-plus years, having some of the best moments of the NCAA tournament, and he's at the center of most of them, and taking Duke to a place where we can, hate them if you do, or love them if you do, but there's really no middle ground for those Duke teams over the last 30, 40 years that he has put on the national stage. But as I said earlier, I think this game against North Carolina could be one of the more memorable Final Four matchups that we've seen. We've had a bunch of them, and Duke has been involved in many of them. But, I mean, if you go back to 2015, Wisconsin beating an undefeated Kentucky team, if you go back to the UNLV-Duke game of 91, I mean, there's so many different semifinal matchups that you can point out. But the fact that two rivals are going to meet on the big stage for a huge, huge prize, the right to play for the national championship. I guess the only thing bigger is if they did play for the national championship. But a national semifinal game on Saturday night is going to have to do. But it really goes to show you, in terms of Mike Krzyzewski, that he's going to be leaving near the top. He may not get to the finish line. He may not be cutting down the nets, but it doesn't matter. He got his team and he got his guys to where Duke has been for a long time in the Final Four. 13 Final Fours where in a tournament where it's really, really hard to get there. This tournament is set up so that you don't have dynasties. You don't have consistent runs. It is too difficult. It is too hard. And that's why we don't see teams repeat. Duke did it 1 year, Florida did it another year. We haven't had a team repeat since the Florida Gators. So just to get to the Final Four in this quirky, wild 68-team tournament is tough enough. And he's done it 13 times. Absolutely remarkable. So no matter what happens to him, losing to North Carolina, he did get to near the top of the mountain in his final year.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, this is the good, the bad, the dumb. And last night at the Academy Awards, Will Smith smacked Chris Rock. We're going to do a whole separate segment on that at 40 past the hour. If you're probably thinking, maybe it's in the good, the bad, and the dumb. Well, we separated it. We got you three different ones. Because we got to really dissect that thing.
That one could be all three?
Yeah, it could be all three, right. Yeah.
It could just be one. We don't know.
We don't know.
But it needs a little bit more time than the normal 5 minutes that we'd spend on it.
Yeah, it needs to breathe a little bit. So we'll get to that coming up later on.
I mean, the clip
the
alone is like a minute 15.
That's right. Exactly. All right, so what's the good of the day?
The good of the day is USA.
Yeah.
USA.
Saw this yesterday. People going crazy fun for this one.
So if you don't know what happened, USA needing a win put on an epic clinic. It was a complete beatdown on Panama. They ended up winning 5-1, but it was 4-0 at the half. And then they just kind of sat back and went in cruise control for the rest of the game. Christian Pulisic, who arguably is the biggest star on Team USA because, Tony, I guarantee that's the only player you know.
I would say that, yes.
had a hat trick. And that's what you want your star players to do. You need your star players to show up in these type tournaments. I mean, albeit two of them were penalty kicks. Doesn't matter. You still got to convert them. And he added a third one midway through the second half.
Well, is he the best? Is he better than Landon Donovan?
I don't know
superstars,
yet.
Superstars in this league?
I mean, we've had a couple. Every World Cup group that's came in, Claudio Reyna, who, he was originally the original Captain America.
Yeah.
One of the most fantastic players Team USA has ever had. One of the first players, I think, to play over in Europe consistently and blah, 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 blah. Landon Donovan, I think, still is the name, is the guy.
But if I were to break down talent, it's like it's one thing. I'll give you an example. I remember I talked to Bert Sugar about this a long time ago, the legendary Bert Sugar. And I said, is Muhammad Ali the greatest fighter of all time? And he said, he's not even in my top five. Because he's like, technically, he lacked this, this, and this. But as far as the most important boxer in the history of the sport, he's number one. So if you were to analyze him soccer for soccer, not popularity, the moment that changed America's soccer, or anything like that, just these are the skills he has, these are the skills he has. How do they compare?
Yeah, Christian Pulisic probably skill-wise is far and away, but I think far and away better than Landon Donovan. Landon Donovan showed up when you needed him most.
Right, right.
And that was the big difference. That's been the big difference. I mean, you know, his goal against
Algeria
lives rent-free in my mind.
One of the greatest moments in sports for this country. Because, again, as I've said many times, we don't celebrate things together.
And, I mean, you know, he's also, you know, was a catalyst for the first time when USA beat Mexico. He was a cog in that wheel. It was in a World Cup. You know, the first time they met in a World Cup in South Korea, and they beat them over there. I mean, there's too many numbers, and it feels like a lot of time Pulisic hasn't risen to that occasion yet.
Okay.
So for Team USA, they have not qualified for the World Cup yet, but it would take a catastrophic loss to Costa Rica come Wednesday. And when I say catastrophic, they would have to lose at least 6-0.
Okay,
6-0.
So if they don't lose 6-0, they're in the World Cup.
Yes.
Awesome. So, about time.
Yes, first time since 2014.
Yeah, I don't need anyone waiting this long to get to the World Cup.
But it was a fun game to watch. I mean, lots. This is what you want to watch in a soccer game is lots
now,
of goals being
this
scored.
This is the World Cup that's in Qatar, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so has anybody figured out where Qatar is time? Like, are we going to be watching these games at night? During the early mornings, I mean, because I'm excited now, but I don't want to. I want to watch these live.
And I don't
want to be up at like 3 o'clock in the morning watching Team USA.
It may be a similar situation.
I'm already up at 3 o'clock
in
the morning anyway.
Yeah, I don't.
We'll have to figure that out.
I'll get back to you on that one.
All right.
Because I know they're. I think they're almost like 12 hours ahead of us.
Well, that is great. Good for Team USA.
So we might have games going on now.
All right, so
our show, which would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be great. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is not necessarily bad, more badass. Okay?
All right.
Lane Kiffin. He threw out the ceremonial first pitch over the weekend versus Ole Miss in Tennessee.
That was it's a big series in college
It's
baseball.
A big series. But instead of throwing a baseball, he threw the golf ball that hit him.
That's fantastic.
Do you remember back when Ole Miss and Tennessee played?
Yep, when he went to Neyland Stadium.
And Tennessee fans got a little unruly and started throwing stuff. Well, a golf ball hit him, and he stood on that mound, had the baseball in hand, kind of shrugged off holding the baseball, reached down into his pocket, whipped out the golf ball, and used that golf ball as his first pitch.
Ole Miss well, they won't be in a few hours. They were the number one team in the nation, and Tennessee was ranked fifth. And Tennessee beat him all three games in the series this weekend. But Lane Kiffin kind of stole the show with that.
Yes.
Because he's Lane Kiffin, and it's what he does.
He can never get hired at Tennessee again?
No. Although, I'm telling you, there was a buzz. Before Josh Heupel, there was a buzz of bringing Lane Kiffin back. Lane Kiffin, it was too bad the USC job came a-calling when it did. Because I thought if there was one guy that could consistently get under Urban Meyer's skin at Florida, it was going to be Lane Kiffin. Like, I knew that I loved the idea of every year Lane Kiffin and Urban Meyer facing off against each other. Because that guy would have driven Urban Meyer to drink. And yet, they only got 1 year out of it. And he was off to USC, and that was it. That was it, but... Yeah, I really like Lane Kiffin. That was a pretty good move. That was pretty smart.
That was
I bet he come up with it. I bet there wasn't a person like, you know what would be really good, coach? If you threw the golf ball. I bet he was like, I'll do it if I can throw the golf ball. And they're like, yes, of course you can.
Fantastic idea.
Way to go, coach. Yeah, that was great. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is, I don't know if this this player is cursed, but it's and this is stuff you just can't make up, right? So Nick Castellanos.
Oh, him again?
He is now with the Phillies.
Yes.
Got his first hit during a spring training game, like literally 10, 15 seconds after the broadcast crew was reading a DUI apology on behalf of the Blue Jays pitching coach, Pete Walker.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. In case you guys don't know the backstory, Tom Brenneman.
People used it last night.
Tom Brenneman of the Cincinnati Reds broadcast team was caught on a hot mic making derogatory, homophobic statements.
Yeah.
While he had a hot mic on, thinking he was off the air, and he wasn't. And he came back, and they told him he was on the whole time, and embarrassingly started to basically apologize. Basically, and even said his career was likely over.
Yeah.
And at the moment in the middle of his apology, Castellanos hit a home run that he broadcasted while apologizing for the homophobic slurs that he uttered on a hot mic.
And then after the play, went back to finish the apology.
So then Castellanos became kind of like a running gag.
Yeah.
If you saw an actor apologizing, you would throw in, and Castellanos goes deep to left field.
I saw it yesterday. Some people giving it the old meme treatment with Will Smith.
Of course.
Will Smith's apologizing, and then Nick Castellanos with a deep drive to right or left. Broadcast crew, I'm not sure who it was, is reading the DUI apology from Blue Jays pitching coach Pete Walker. And I'm telling you, it's not even 10 seconds after he gets a base hit, his first base hit as a Phillies.
Amazing. I can't time it any better than Nick Castellanos coming to the plate when you have to say something, say some apologizing thing on the broadcast.
That's why I don't know if he cursed as a player. Is this what we're going to know him for?
If it happens a third time, then I'll definitely believe in the witchcraft and the voodoo. Yeah. Golly, what's Brenneman doing? He's not coming back. He's out of baseball.
He's from
the Brenneman baseball family.
I think he gets a shot somewhere down the road.
Yeah,
I do.
I do too.
What was that movie? Remember that movie with Hank Azaria or that TV show?
Oh God, what was the name of that? Because it was good for a while.
It was good. That first season was fantastic.
Yes.
Like Longmire. No, it wasn't Longmire.
I know what you're talking about though.
But
yeah.
Wasn't he was someone who got cast away.
Right.
Because he had a drunken fit on air.
Because he was going through a divorce or his wife was cheating on him or
something. Yeah. And then he was signed to some like no name minor league team. And I think that will be Brenneman at some point. Small minor league team that no one's ever heard of, and maybe that gets him back in. I don't put him on the Art Briles never hired again.
He'll probably get some gig.
Yeah.
You're right. All right, there you go. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Like I said, we left the Will Smith slap out because we're going to do that coming up in about 17 minutes. As we continue, more on the NCAA Final Four when we come back. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Love to get your tweets on the program this morning. Robert, Tony D Radio, I hope at Max Asmus gets a shot at the pros. Summit League. Yeah, I do too. I think he will. I think Max Asmus will get a shot. He's a very good three-point shooter. He was one of the best in the country last year, but I think he'll get a shot. So the Final Four, man, we're down to four teams all using the color blue.
Ooh.
Yep. It's going to be a really very nice bluish blue blood Final Four.
That is amazing to me that it's we don't have like someone crashing the party.
Yeah, it is weird now. It's like, again, as I said this in hour one, you have this tournament where it's not so much like the 15 like St. Peter's. It's like you're seeing 10s win, 11s win. It's like, yeah, there's talent across the board, and yet these four storybook programs are right back at it again at the Final Four. Right? It's like there's Duke once again in the Final Four. There's North Carolina. Like, North Carolina wasn't that far long ago winning a national championship. Won it in 2017
with
Gonzaga. Wasn't that long ago. Duke won the national title in 2015, right, when they beat Wisconsin. Like, it's not that far. Villanova, 2018, right? Well, I can't remember the last time Kansas won a title. Kansas won one.
No, but I mean, there's not that long ago either. The one thing that's kind of fun with this one, that there are storylines because – you know, you have the Duke, North Carolina, that story. Everyone knows that story.
Right.
Villanova, Kansas, the last time they met was a Final Four in 2018.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it's like, again, these are programs that get back to the Final Four a lot. And yet the whole tournament now is sort of, there's an acceptance of, you know what? There's a lot more good basketball teams than you know. Like, a lot of these teams can make good runs. A lot of these teams can upset these other teams. And yet, here's the staple, right? So, by the way, Justin Moore of Villanova, their star guard, he is out. He suffered a torn Achilles, so
yeah.
Villanova will not have him. That's very important. And again, Jay Wright's been at Villanova a long time, long time. Got a couple of national championships under his belt. Bill Self feels like he's been at Kansas forever and a day.
And still able to catch his keep his job mid FBI investigations. And
that's right. That's right.
He's one of those guys.
We know how long Mike Krzyzewski's been at Duke.
Yep.
Like during the Reagan administration. What a weird thing.
It was only Reagan, right? He didn't touch on Jimmy Carter at all.
Might have. Well, Reagan would be inaugurated. I think it was 80 when he got introduced, so Carter would have been in office because Reagan took over in 81, January of 81. So think about, like, the Steelers and the Rams and the Oakland Raiders and the Eagles in Super Bowl. That's how long Mike Krzyzewski's been at Duke.
He's outlasted all of them.
Yeah. Like, what a weird – when somebody stays at one place for a long, long time – like, I think about what it must be like every day to be like to watch your town grow, to watch your school grow, to watch, you know, like you're going through all these different moments in history, right? I remember telling you guys about this football coach when I was living in Charleston. There was this football coach named John McKissick, and he was a coach at Somerville High School in South Carolina. And if you look him up, you'll see a lot of He's pretty historic. He was at the school since 1952 as the head football coach. And when I was there, we did high school football at the station I was working at. And John McKissick, we talked about John McKissick. And I always thought to myself, here's a guy that like has been around high school football through all these different eras of the U.S. history, right? Like he watched some of his kids go off to Vietnam. You know what I mean? Like then the Kennedy assassination, and he had to deal with his students on that. And he had to deal with his students on all sorts of different things throughout history, from the 70s and uprisings and the 80s and the shuttle explosion and like all these things. He was a football coach through it all at the same place. And I think about that with Mike Krzyzewski too, because one of the things that we kind of talked about in the last couple of weeks when talking about Coach K and the finality of his career is how many people and how many changes has he seen in the landscape of college athletics. I mean, he coached against Ralph Sampson, right, in the ACC, right? I mean, he's coached against some of the greatest coaches. He coached against Michael Jordan in North Carolina. He coached against Dean Smith for so many years. Like, there isn't a Bobby Knight. I mean, name the coaches over the last 40 years. He's run into them. And he has been, from probably 86 forward, he has had established a level of excellence that you just don't see in sports. you expect some dips. You expect moments where the season doesn't go your way. There's injuries or there's, but not Duke. Duke has been a presence every single winter for 40 years. It's remarkable. And it, when you really pull yourself apart from that, it's weird to think that it could end on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like North Carolina could beat him and then that's it. That's it. He's done. He's done. And the one guy that I've had in my life since I was a kid, since I was a little kid, is going to be gone from the sports world.
I mean, I find it hard to believe that the NCAA will allow that. You know, maybe they're telling the refs a little bit, hey, you know, maybe call it a little bit more.
Now. Easy with those conspiracy theories. But
the only thing I fear, though, in all honesty, will Duke go away?
Well, I don't think so. I think John Shire knows the tricks of the trade, right? I mean, Duke is still...
He'll keep them relevant and...
But John Shire has to show he can coach. Because kids aren't going to go to Duke if the program is not in the right hands, right?
Well, I mean, we saw that with...
If John Shire is like, I can't do this, then kids won't go there.
And we saw that kind of with North Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, the last two seasons of North Carolina haven't been the greatest.
Right.
They're not, you know, they're not perennial favorites as they were under Roy Williams, but they're, you have a run like this and you can see like, okay, you know what? It's just taking time for his message, his plan to come across.
Well, you know, and it's a brand new world as we've talked about many times with NIL and whatnot, and new coaches have to navigate through that and have to, you know, when you're going after these McDonald All-Americans, there's going to have to be a way to sort of get them what they're looking for when it comes to going to these programs. And the one thing that Coach K always had for many, many years, until he really did start accepting sort of the one and done nature of it, was back in the day, he could really get kids to go there because Duke is still a heck of an academic institution. And if you can get a kid into Duke and they get a Duke education, they may not make it to the pros, but they certainly were going to get a Duke education. And they were going to be in the pipeline of Duke alumni. Notre Dame was famous for this for many, many, many years, for many decades, I should say. Get a Notre Dame education, and then you're in a pipeline of Notre Dame alumni. They're some of the most powerful people in the world in terms of business, politics, whatever. Duke has a similar feel to that. There's a lot of good Duke alumni that work in Wall Street. They work in all sorts of different industries. But now he's established a program where it's like, you know what, if you just stay in for 5 minutes, come on over here anyway. You know, and go ahead and get your, you know, go ahead and get your time in before you head off to the pros. NIL sort of is going to alter a lot of that. I think kids will look at Duke and say, that's just one of many options that I have where I can really capitalize on it. But it's going to be interesting to see because, again, if Shire can't bring in the consistent talent, they won't be a factor anymore. That was the one thing he always could bring in. Because I think there's also, too, I mean, if you are at pretty much any age below 55, you grew up with this guy having one of the top basketball programs in the country. And what do we say about guys who want to go play, even if it's just one and done, right? Even if I know I'm going to the NBA, right? If I would go to the NBA now if it wasn't for the rules, so I might as well play college basketball. What is one of the things they want? Well, if I'm going to play college basketball, I might as well win a national championship with all this. And Coach K was always a program you could rely on for that. Like, you could go there and you'd get a pretty good chance of winning a title. It wasn't guaranteed, but it was a better chance than a lot of places. But now with NIL, I wonder if that's on people's minds. I mean, a lot of kids might go, yeah, I may not win a title at Memphis, but they certainly pay good. You know, it depends. But I'm looking forward to Saturday night, man. I think I like Duke, North Carolina. It's one of my favorite rivalries I have nothing to do with.
Yep.
And for them to play on Saturday night for the right to win, to go to a national title, and the idea of what North Carolina could do, if they could win that game and end Coach K's career in a loss to the Tar Heels, forever embedded into the minds of Tar Heel fans for the rest of time. All right, we're going to move to the Academy Awards and the slap heard around the world next. Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network alongside Ron Culver Here's Tony D.
All right, so earlier this hour, we had the good, the bad, and the dumb, and we decided to take the Will Smith episode from the Oscars out of that because let's just chat about that for a little bit. First of all, I didn't watch the Academy Awards. I haven't watched the Academy Awards in a while. I don't know any of the movies, and so I don't know.
I did, and I mean, like,
did you watch how many of the movies did you watch?
Oh no, I haven't seen any of the movies except for the some of the animated films. Because I got
kids. Yeah,
but
I mean like Best Picture.
Yeah, no. I did not see Coda.
Well, here's the deal. Everyone's like, I am so glad Coda. You didn't think Coda was going to. It's a movie about deaf parents. It's sentimental. It was good.
Yes.
The Oscars tends to do this kind of thing. They award these kind of movies.
The guy who got Best Supporting Actor was the deaf. I mean,
right.
He was deaf in the movie. It was fantastic.
Fantastic, but could I honestly tell you it was the best picture? I have no clue.
Yeah.
I don't know much
about what was going on. I don't remember the last time I saw a movie that was up for Best Picture.
Man, I used to see a bunch of them. Like I could see an Unforgiven or Schindler's List or Titanic or a Departed or
it was Departed.
Movies, you know? So but then all these movies started. I just don't. Like, none of them appeal to me, so I'm just not
well,
my
they're
type
getting
of
a little too, like...
Shape of Water. I'm like, I don't even... A mermaid and a man and I woman? I don't know. I just...
Shape of Water. You know, the one thing that reminded me of yesterday when I was watching it was Wanda Sykes did a tour of the Oscars Museum or the Academy Awards Museum. That looks like a fun place to go.
Okay.
That looks really interesting because it has all these different movie artifacts, like Dorothy's red slippers and... But
oh,
they
yeah,
had
that'd
the,
be kind of cool.
They had the costume from Shape of Water, that green thing, whatever it was, water
right.
monster.
That sounds like a good little trip. But so anyway, I was on social media last night, and all of a sudden it started to erupt that Will Smith smacked Chris Rock. So I went to go watch it. Well, let's just play it for you. Here's the incident last night at the Academy Awards.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. All right? That was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard. Oh, wow. Wow. Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane jump.
Keep my wife's name out your
I'm going to, okay? okay. That was the greatest night in the history of television. Okay. Okay. So we are here to give a documentary out, to give an Oscar.
Okay. So my first reaction was a lot of people's reaction on Twitter that this was staged.
Yeah.
The Academy Awards ratings stink. And that it was staged. Okay, I I'm going to tell you right now, I still don't know if it was staged or not. I know
well,
people
I will
are
say
still
this.
Hanging on to that.
The only reason why I say it's not staged, I don't believe Chris Rock to be that good of an actor.
Right. And I will, you and I were talking about this before the show. I think when you make these kind of statements, I think it's easy. It's easy, right? Because everybody thinks that, this goes to sports too. Everybody thinks everybody's got to be in on something that's important to something else, right? So when we talk about sports, for example, and we go, ugh, the Patriots are in the Super Bowl again. It's exactly what the NFL wanted. They rigged the whole thing because the ratings will be good for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But then you got to go, okay, well, let's just go with that for a second. Okay, how would they do it? Would they sit a bunch of referees in a room? Would they tell all of them that they had to do this? Would they let the other team in on it? If the other team's not in on it, then they have to make sure that the game goes in a way that the officials can control. What if one official doesn't like that idea? What if two officials doesn't like that idea? How about three? What happens then? Do they kill those three people so that they don't talk to anybody afterwards? Or do they let it go? We don't have any disappearances of officials in this league last time I checked. So now, So you hear what I'm saying? The more deeper you get into it, the more you get into the actual creation of this, the more you realize there's just too many moving parts. Why don't you just let it play out normally and see what happens? It's like much safer that way. It's the same thing here. If you would have to believe, if you think it was staged, and again, I don't know, maybe it was, I don't know, but you would have to believe, if you're saying that they did it because the ratings for the Academy Awards are down, you would have to believe that, one, Will Smith and Chris Rock deeply care about the ratings of the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Like, literally, this is the thing they exist for. Not making movies, not doing stand-up shows. They coordinate their careers around whether or not ABC gets enough ratings points to continue with the money they pay for the Academy Awards rights. Okay? Now, do they get a cut of that? So, and then the question is, okay, then you have to ask yourself, why would Chris Rock want to get slapped in the face on national TV? How much money would it take? $10 million? $20 million? $50 million? $100 million? This is a guy that's probably worth $100 million. How much money would it take to get Chris Rock to be punched in the face? And I'm going to tell you something, because this is the one thing a lot of people don't understand when it comes to conspiracies. You pay Chris Rock $50 million to get slapped in the face, someone's going to know about it.
Yep.
You don't write that kind of check, and he doesn't cash that kind of check without somebody knowing about it. And so somehow, some way, Chris Rock is going to be $50 million richer in 48 hours. Somebody's going to know.
Because he's not doing it out of the kindness of his heart.
He's not doing it for free because ABC is like, sweet Jesus, the ratings are going down. And he's like, don't you worry. I got this. Will Smith's going to slap me in the face. I'll make a joke about his wife's baldness, and he'll slap me in the face. It'll be great. Second thing is Will Smith. Right? How much money would it take Will Smith to punch a guy in the face and get the scorn that he's getting today from some people?
Well, especially on a night where going into this, he was the favorite to win the Best Actor Award, which he did. He did end up winning the Best Actor Award, but he was the favorite going in. We all kind of thought, you know, it was his turn.
So if you pulled Will Smith aside and you said, hey, on the night you're up for the Academy Award, then you're the favorite to win this thing, by the way. We don't know, but you're the favorite. Are you willing, on national, worldwide, global TV, slap Chris Rock in the face? Would you be willing to do it? Without anybody knowing whether it was rigged or not, and you not making a joke about it, and you two laughing it up afterwards. We want it to be real. We want you to slap him across the face. How much would it cost Will Smith to do that? Again, why would they do that? For the Academy Awards ratings, something they do not care about. Like, Tom Brady doesn't care about the ratings for the Super Bowl, and neither does any NFL player, right? That money has already been paid. The networks have already paid it to the league. And the networks, that money for the Super Bowl rights goes up all the time, regardless of whether or not Super Bowl 52 is the highest rated or the middle of the pack rated or whatever. The NFL keeps charging. ABC is always going to air the Academy Awards. The ratings may not be fantastic, but do you think Will Smith and Chris Rock are concerned about whether or not ABC's bottom line is met? Like, they are global superstars. Will Smith can have any movie and any director he wants for the rest of his life. Do you think he cares about whether or not ABC and the Academy Awards are sweating out some ratings points? Of course he doesn't. So that alone makes me think it wasn't rigged. I know it's the Oscars are an easy target. They are very, very easy target. It's low-hanging fruit, man. You just peg it. But I just got a feeling like his wife has got a condition. I forget what it's called.
Alopecia.
Alopecia, yeah.
Something like that.
Causes her to lose her hair.
Yeah.
He's sensitive to that. Plus, let's be honest, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith have been pretty open about some of their relationships.
Well, and it's a weird video, too. I mean, if you haven't seen the whole clip, he was laughing at the G.I. Jane joke.
Yeah, he was laughing at the joke, right?
And then, I don't know.
I think he saw his wife's face.
Yeah, I don't know if he looked over or if she kind of gave him that eye. Like, really? And, I mean, you know, I heard someone say put it perfectly like this. He had two choices. You can either face his wife or face Chris Rock.
Right, sure, right?
And maybe the wife would have been forgiving after he brought home the gold statue, but probably not. We all know wives tend not to forget those things.
I don't want to equate some moments in our lives, and I'm talking to all of you out there as well, where you've done something that drew a lot of attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there, I have occasionally, and there is a moment when you forget everything around you, right? You don't realize that you're caught. Like, I'll be honest with you. Years and years ago, when my kid was little, I was at my son had a ear infection, real bad ear infection. We brought him into the hospital, and we just weren't getting the kind of attention that we wanted. And I threw a fit in the waiting room of the hospital enough that they were like, we might have to escort you out, right? I really was like going crazy. But you realize, you don't think about who you're yelling at. You don't think about like security may have to come. Like you don't think, like you're just emotional. But I got to think that Will Smith, he must have had a complete detachment of where he was at that moment. Because he had to know when he was walking up to hit Chris Rock, he had somewhere in his brain, he had to know, this is not going away. Like, I'm gonna do this to a billion people around the world. I'm going to do this in front of a billion people around the world, and this is going to be buzzed about for a long time.
And that's the thing, too, because, I mean, this incident, it's everyone's lead story. Everyone's talking about this incident, and then it becomes the afterthought. Oh, and by the way, he won the Best Actor Award.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's what should be celebrated.
The moment as an actor that you are waiting for, the moment where... And again, this is one of those weird awards because it's like your like peers in the industry are giving this to you.
Yeah.
Like it's not like the Golden Globes, that's actual peers. But this is like the movie people giving you this. And if you're acting in any movie that has any sort of substance, you've probably dreamt about winning an Academy Award. And this is how he's winning the Academy Award. This is the direction.
Yeah. And I'm sure
like,
he had a.
This is how we're going to remember this.
I'm sure he had a speech prepared.
Right.
But didn't matter.
That's one of the reasons I don't think it was. I think it was real. And again, it could be 100% wrong. Tomorrow we could be. Ha ha ha. Did you hear about him? They actually admitted that it was a joke.
Well, I mean, now the newest thing is that there's a rule, the code of conduct rule from the Oscars. I mean, you could have it taken away.
Yeah, that might be. By the way, how quickly?
I doubt it.
Like,
they would.
What kind of setup was there? Was that? I thought to get up on stage was a big deal.
Well, you know,
he got up and walked straight on a platform.
You know, I mean, they always put the Oscar favorites up front. You know, they've done that for years. This is a different stage because it's not really like your traditional auditorium.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I kept looking over every time they showed Denzel. I was like, if I'm Denzel right now, I'm loving life. I mean, the only thing that was wrong was that didn't fully recline.
Right.
But
yeah.
What a fantastic way to watch an award show.
I know, right?
Or watch anything in particular. I mean, he's leaned back, laid back. I mean, he looks so comfortable.
Golly. We've seen Juwan Howard punch a guy. We've seen Will Smith over, like, words.
Who's next?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Oh, weird. Very weird. All right, it's Tony D, Ron Culver again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, I've never been a big Academy Awards person. It's not like I looked forward to it every single year. I mean, I watched it a lot for many years.
I looked forward in the 90s.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, it was cool. I'm not a huge movie guy, so it's not really my thing. It's like my sister is really into it. She's more into movies, so that's her thing. But I have to say that I don't miss it, and... I just think there's a couple of factors that go into why people are tuning out. I think one, I don't think they want to hear movie stars lecture them on politics. I think that you tune into that just to get the word out. But I do think that the aura of the movie star has been diminishing over the last few years. And this was a night like you would see all the stars, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, imagine, like, you remember back in the day, they'd be like, look who's walking up. It's Jack Nicholson and the lovely Faye Dunaway as they enter the other theater here in Los Angeles. And look over there, it's Sidney Poitier. Is he like, that was a big deal to see red carpet and these stars coming in.
Outside of movies, the only time you would see them is, like, maybe in a magazine.
Yeah. And there's the Duke, John Wayne, as he enters the theater. And then that was like, oh, my God, all of these stars are here. And but the aura of the star, I think, has diminished. I think nowadays it's like there's so many famous people that almost nobody's really famous, right? I mean, you know, you could start a YouTube channel and you could have 100,000 people watching your YouTube clips in no time.
We've talked about them before. The most famous person on YouTube or the you know, the highest grossing person on YouTube is a maybe he's 11 years old now.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, kid Ryan.
It's a crazy world. It's you know, and you know whether you do a podcast or YouTube, it's like it's easy to draw a little bit of fame and notoriety. There are people who are called influencers. I don't even know who they are, but apparently they're influencing enough people to be professional influencers. So the aura, I think, of the movie star is sort of gone, been gone over the last decade or so. But I also think that in the end, it's, I don't think people see, they're not, these movies aren't really blockbuster movies. And I think that takes away from the interest. It's like, I want to see something win an award that I've seen. And most of people haven't seen these movies.